Okay, everybody repeat. Wait a second. Where am I? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this fourth canto is entitled The Creation of the Fourth Order. So the first order is by Krishna, second order by Lord Brahma, there's a third, and this is the fourth level of creation, Prajapatis and things like that. So the chapter canto opens with the discussion of the daughters of Manu, and then there's the story of Atri Rishi. Atri Rishi did not know exactly who was God. So he was doing prayers and meditation, and he said, whoever is the supreme, please fulfill my desires. So the three principal gods in the material realm, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Since Atri did not designate, all three of them appeared and said, well, you called for us. So they all agreed to become his son. So Brahma appeared as the son of Atri as Soma. Soma is the god of the moon. And then Lord Shiva appeared as his son, as the great mystic Durvasa Muni, who appears later in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. He's in the Mahabharata. I don't know if Durvasa is in Ramayana, but Durvasa is there. We'll hear about him in the ninth canto. And then Lord Narayan appeared as his son in the form of the great sage Dattatreya. We'll hear about Dattatreya a little bit in Canto 7 and in Canto 11. Then the next discussion is the appearance of Nara Narayan. They are actually two, Nara and Narayan. And Nara and Narayan appear on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as Krishna and Arjuna. Yes. Alright, so the next section is Daksha versus Lord Shiva. So, yes, this is very instructive, this pastime. So, Lord Brahma, he appointed Daksha as the leader of all the Prajapatis. The Prajapatis, like Kashyapa and others, they are given special powers to create progeny, helping Lord Brahma fill up the universe. So, for some reason, I don't know exactly how, Daksha was made the leader. So there was this occasion when there was a huge sacrifice. So all the Brahmins were there, demigods were there, rishis were there, all assembled to do a yajna. The purpose of the yajna was to have Lord Vishnu appear at the sacrifice. So all of a sudden enters Daksha. And when Daksha enters, everybody stands and acknowledges, because Brahma has made him the chief. So he enters the assembly. Everybody stands up except Lord Shiva. So Daksha, even before this, he had a grudge against Lord Shiva. And why was that? Daksha was told by Brahma, you have a particular daughter named Sati. I want you to give that daughter to Lord Shiva. Now, Daksha is very aristocratic. Everything is pukka pukka. He dresses very opulently. So he comes from a very aristocratic. So you get the idea of what kind of a personality is. very self-important. And you know what Lord Shiva looks like? He looks like, well, actually, in the previous canto, Kashyapa, when he's explaining to Diti, he says, people misunderstand Lord Shiva's devilish characteristics. Because Kashyapa says, they see Lord Shiva externally, but Kashyapa knew Lord Shiva is the greatest of all the devotees. He knew that he self-realized, and he has no interest in this material world. But people in general tend to judge him, just like any of us would. If you see a homeless person on the street, you don't think he's some kind of self-realized sage. You don't go, oh, please accept my humble obeisance. You know, you see a homeless, right, when you're driving down the freeway, you see them. They're all over, even in Orange County. Right? You don't think, oh, there's a great Vaishnava. So people tend to judge externally. So the only reason Daksha and Sati was the youngest of his daughter and his pet. And here's Lord Brahma telling him, you should give that. So he didn't like it. He had to do it because Lord Brahma told him to, but he never liked it. So when he enters now he's the big man on the scene right now. He's been made the chief Prajapati. Everybody is standing up. And there's his son-in-law, right? The son-in-law. Father-in-law expects the son-in-law to be, right, to acknowledge. But his son-in-law doesn't stand up. So Daksha goes into a tirade. Look at this person who goes by the name Shiva. He's not auspicious, because that's what the word Shiva means. It means auspicious. Look at him. He's not auspicious. And Daksha goes on criticizing and blaspheming Lord Shiva. Meanwhile, Lord Shiva's associates are also there, and they don't like what's coming out of Daksha's mouth. And they're getting angry, and they're about ready to do something. Now, Lord Shiva at the time was in samadhi. That's why he didn't stand up. It's not that he offended his father-in-law. He was in trance. Who was he meditating on? Krishna. He was in trance. So as Daksha is speaking, Lord Shiva comes out of his trance, but he says nothing. He lets Daksha go on blaspheming him and criticizing him. He says nothing. And he's telling his servants, don't do anything. Don't do anything. So there's a big ruckus. A ruckus does happen, but Lord Shiva, he leaves the assembly. So there was cursing and counter-cursing, because those who were following Daksha, they were all Brahmins. So they cursed the associates of Lord Shiva, and the associates of Lord Shiva cursed the followers of Daksha. So cursing and counter-cursing. Not good. But there's no, you know, actual fight. Just cursing and counter. It's all verbal. And Lord Shiva leaves the scene. Doesn't get involved. Doesn't retaliate to Daksha. Just remains silent. That's Lord Shiva teaching us a lesson. Very valuable lesson. You're being criticized, you're being blasphemed, walk away. Don't retaliate. Because what's the tendency? If somebody is criticizing you, the tendency is, what are you talking about? You're also a nonsense fool. Idiot. Right? That's the tendency. Right? In the workplace. Somebody says, oh, this, what a jack. What a jerk he is. Right? You're going to say, who are you talking to, man? Let's take it outside. Let's go. Right? That's human nature. especially in Kali Yuga. Say that to my face. Let's go, man. But Lord Shiva teaches us, and it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Somebody is blaspheming you to, first of all, just to keep your peace. Because, right? Krishna mentions this. He'll mention this when we get to the Uddhava Gita. Krishna will also mention this, that if somebody is attacking you verbally and to remain calm, that is glorious. So Lord Shiva teaches us. So Lord Shiva goes home, and his wife Sati, she hears about everything. So after some time, Sati notices all the demigods and demigoddesses are flying in their airplanes. And she knows, oh, my father is doing another sacrifice. And he hasn't even invited me. So Sati is thinking, I thought I was his pet. He hasn't invited me because I'm married to Lord Shiva. So Sati is getting very disturbed. And Lord Shiva tells her, I'm warning you. You were not invited. Yes, he's your father. You don't need an invitation. But look at it. Look at it like this. Your father does not think of me highly. So, since he does not think of me in a good way, if you go there, it is going to be very disastrous. And at this point, Lord Shiva tells Sati, you have to understand, and there's this very powerful verse he speaks at this time. And the way Prabhupada translates, Lord Shiva says, I am always in Krishna consciousness because I'm always meditating on Krishna in my heart. And this gives me the greatest spiritual happiness. And people like your father can never understand the bliss, us transcendentalists, us devotees, what we appreciate, what we can relish. Your person like your father, he is practically speaking a gross materialist. Yes, he's a brahmana, but he's only interested in material advancement. Whereas persons like me, transcendentalists, we have no interest in this cheap, petty material world. We only care about Krishna consciousness. We are happy. We are peaceful in this Krishna consciousness. And Lord Shiva tells, because at this time, Sati is walking in and out of the room. And the description is like a pendulum. You know what a pendulum is? Of a clock. The old clocks used to go tick, tuck. So that's how Sati was pacing back and forth, because when she saw all the demigoddesses going to her father's house, she was thinking, I want to go too. It's a party. I want to go. But Lord Shiva is telling her, if you go, trust me, you're going to be insulted. I'm going to be insulted. And that insult will be as good as death. So she doesn't listen. Men, how many times have you had that experience? The wife doesn't listen. So in this case, see, I play both sides. Sometimes the men are good, sometimes the women are good. So Sati doesn't listen, and she leaves in a hurry. She just leaves. And she goes to her father's house, and there's a big religious ritual going on. And her father doesn't even welcome her. So her sisters and mother, women are by nature soft-hearted. Prabhupada says this. Prabhupada says this is why women easily take to Krishna consciousness, because they're soft-hearted. What does that say about us men, huh? Told you I play both sides. So Sati's mother and sisters, they, oh, how are you? It's good to see you. But Daksha still has that grudge. He doesn't like that his daughters, so Daksha doesn't greet. So Sati starts to speak, and she starts to chastise her father, and saying, you fail to appreciate the greatness of my husband, Lord Shiva. You have no idea the greatness of my husband. You may be my father, but actually, you are the worst. And then she says, when I think that I have taken birth from you, that you are my father, I feel like vomiting. I'm so disgusted with you because you do not have any appreciation for my wonderful husband. So she says, actually, the Vedas say that if one has taken poisonous food, the cure is to vomit. So she says, whenever somebody addresses me in terms of being your daughter, I get so disgusted. She sits down in yogic trance. She's wearing saffron cloth and her body bursts into flames. She gives up this body. She says, this body has come from you and you were envious of my husband. I give it up. And so she immolates herself. And her next birth is who? Parvati. Because she is the eternal consort. That's why Brahma told Daksha, you give this daughter to Lord Shiva, because Brahma knew she is the eternal consort of Shiva. She cannot be with anybody else. Shiva and Parvati, or Sati, whatever name, they are always together. Just like Radha and Krishna, close together always. Radha cannot be with another. How's that? She is always with Krishna. So when she gives up her body and it bursts into flames, there's a huge ruckus. And news reaches Lord Shiva. Because when Sati left, Lord Shiva arranged that she was accompanied. He didn't let her go by herself. She went with a whole entourage of Lord Shiva's associates. Lord Shiva's associates are goblins and goats and ghouls and those kinds of people. So when Sati gave up her body, they reported back to Lord Shiva. And now Lord Shiva is very angry. And he plucks hair from his head and dashes it to the ground. And out comes the personified anger of Lord Shiva. What is his main function in the material world? Destroy. This is the, and you don't destroy by, oh, I will destroy. How do you destroy? Anger. Just like, what was Krishna trying to do to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Get him angry. Get him fired up. That's how you fight a war. You have to be angry. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is inciting Arjuna's anger. Get up and fight. Get up. So many times, right? So many times in Bhagavad Gita, what we hear Krishna say. Therefore, get up and fight, O chastiser of the enemy. So, to fight, you have to be angry. So, Virabhadra is his name. Vira. Power. Strength. Powerful Vira. So, they go to the sacrifice and they start attacking the Brahmins and the demigods, all these associates of Lord Shiva. And then Bhrigu, he creates these things called ribus. They have like shark-like bodies. So there's a fight going on between these ribus and the ghosts and hobgoblins. But Lord Shiva's associates are victorious. The demigods are defeated. And then Virabhadra is looking for Daksha. He's looking for Daksha. And he grabs Daksha. And he's trying to kill him. But he can't kill Daksha till he sees something. In the sacrifice they were doing, they were going to sacrifice a goat. And there's a certain implement that is used to kill the goat in this sacrifice. So Virabhadra sees that wooden implement and in this way beheads Daksha. And then, swaha, he throws the head into the yajna pit, in the south part of the yajna pit, finishing off the yajna. And then Virabhadra and all of his associates, they return to Lord Shiva. Daksha has been killed, his head chopped off and offered. Swaha, everybody. All right. So the demigods, some of them have broken arms, some of them have been mangled. They're thoroughly defeated and beat up by the associates of Lord Shiva. So where do you think they go? Where do the demigods go whenever they have a problem? No, first they go to Lord Brahma. First they go to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma chastises them. He said, what do you expect? How can you expect anything good when you blaspheme the great devotee, Lord Shiva? And Lord Brahma describes the greatness of Lord Shiva to all the demigods. He also describes his abode, Kailas. Now that section of the fourth canto, the description of Kailas is very wonderful. If you read that description, you want to go there. It's not as nice as Goloka Vrindavan, but pretty close. Very nice. Birds are chirping and very nice atmosphere and pleasant and such nice flowers and animals and everybody's peaceful. It's a beautiful description. So Brahma tells all the demigods, you deserve what you got because you blasphemed this great devotee, Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva is so great that he will forgive you if you go and beg forgiveness. So all the demigods follow Lord Shiva to Kailas. And when they go there, Lord Shiva is sitting in a certain yoga pose. And he's discussing transcendental knowledge with Narada, the four Kumaras. And Brahma, on behalf of the demigods, offers beautiful prayers glorifying Lord Shiva. And after hearing their prayers, and Brahma finishes by saying, dear Lord Shiva, you are so magnanimous. We know that somehow if you could, and he lists all these demigods who had been damaged. He said, can you please bring this one, make them all back to normal again? So Lord Shiva says, yes, I accept the apology. And each of the ones that Brahma mentioned, he made some kind of adjustment that they would be. But he said, as far as Daksha, he can only come back to life. The goat that was to be sacrificed, you put the head of the goat on the body, the dead body of Daksha, because only the head was put into the sacrificial fire, not the body. So Lord Shiva said, take the head of the goat that was supposed to be sacrificed, put it on. And as soon as they did that, Daksha came back to life, but now he has the head of a goat. Now he has a different consciousness. And he prays to Lord Shiva, saying, what you did, I deserve. And now I understand your greatness. So you please benedict me. You please forgive me, because personalities like you are so great that you are satisfied just by your mercy and greatness. So Daksha is allowed now to go on, but now he has the head of a goat. He can't be so puffed up anymore. Not with the head of a goat. Then they do the sacrifice again. And now when they do the sacrifice, Lord Shiva is given his fair share of prasad, because when the demigods do sacrifice, they get prasad. So everybody is taken care of. And because now there's no offenses, the sacrifice is performed nicely. From the sacrificial fire, Lord Vishnu appears. Wow. Can you imagine if we did the Bhagavad Gita Yajna this year and Krishna appeared? We wouldn't leave, would we? We would want Krishna stay, and we wouldn't go anywhere. We would finally turn off our cell phones. No, we would take selfies with Krishna. Wouldn't we? But no, we would. But Krishna wouldn't appear in the film. It would just be you. Krishna wouldn't allow a selfie, because Krishna's cool. But we would love that. I would love that Krishna appears at that program, or one of our Namahat programs. If Krishna was to come right now, what would we do? Hare Krishna! We would all fall at his feet, right? Some of us would be crying. Some of us would be just going mad seeing Krishna. So Lord Vishnu appears and everything ends happily ever after. I'm 4 minutes over. So, thank you very much. Was today better than yesterday? Tomorrow is going to be easy.